Anna here. Now, are you an entrepreneur who wants to write and publish a book about your own failures turned successes? Well, good news, that's what my company, Legacy Launchpad, does. Find out more at LegacyLaunchpadPub.com. That's LegacyLaunchpadPub.com. Now, should you do a book, you ask? I think so. Why? Because you're worth it. Now back to the show. Now, the best books are made up of stories. And let's face it, the best stories are about bouncing back from failure. I'm Anna David, obsessed with books, a New York Times bestselling author, and the CEO of Legacy Launchpad Publishing. And I only achieve those things because I picked myself up again after failing and found my way to success. And that makes me uniquely qualified to get the best stories about failure and success out of other people.
Failure is always a learning experience.
So after 6 months, I told him that I Googled sociopath and he had all of the symptoms and I found myself out of job.
At that time, it was supposed to be a side hustle. Well, the side hustle started to make far more money than the real hustle. So after six months, I quit my job.
Welcome to Fail Your Way to Success.
Welcome to the podcast where the host loves nothing more than to discuss failure with her friends. And today, that's exactly what I did with my friend Tamar Hermes. She is the founder of the Wealth Building Concierge. She's a real estate investor and coach and wealth strategist. She is the best-selling author of The Millionaire's Mentality, which I'm proud to say Legacy Launchpad Publishing published. And this is really one of my favorite episodes, this interview. We got right into the gritty of failure is all about your mentality. Failure is about finishing doing something and immediately saying, I sucked, and losing all perspective on yourself. And we also talked about the evolution of her business and how it has not been an easy road. It is a road that you stay on when it's not easy, so that you can look like the overnight success that you're not. So that is enough from me. I now give you Tamar Hermes. Well, my friend, and when I say my friend, I actually mean it. Sometimes I say it and I don't, like, we are actually good friends, which I love.
I love it too.
And interestingly, like what we were just talking about surrounding yourself with successful people. This is something that I would say I never even understood the concept. I'd never heard of it until 4 or 5 years ago. And one of the reasons that you mean so much in my life is that I feel like we're at the same level, so we can really give each other feedback. Whereas other relationships that I have, it's kind of all give on my part. Do you know what I mean?
I absolutely do. And I think that saying, surround yourself with people that are smarter than you, that have done things that you want to do, that you can aspire to, is so important, because I think that when we are just around people that are in struggle or in the same struggle as us, and we don't have a visual picture of where we want to head, and role models and people that have actually done it to keep reminding us that we can do it, it makes it so much harder.
Yeah. And so I do think that's something that really contributes to success. You got to see it. I didn't know what it looked like until I met Joe, and then that sort of, Joe Polish, that opened up the floodgates to all these other people. So let's talk about failures and successes. What do you see as your biggest failure?
My biggest failure was and will always be that I don't believe in myself enough.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is, when we look at failure, when we boil it down in deep in our souls, that is really what it all comes down to. Because we're capable of everything. And we're capable of creating whatever successes we want. And yet there are these barriers from childhood, from challenges, from it not being easy that can confront us with, am I really good enough? Can I really do this? I have a mentor that always shares this story about a friend of his having lunch with Oprah Winfrey. And she says they say the same thing, whoever she interviews, Obama, Tom Cruise, Julia Roberts, afterwards, the Dalai Lama also, they all say the same thing afterwards. Was that okay?
Right.
We're in the constant question, right, no matter how much we achieve.
That's so interesting. Yeah, I remember it's reminding me when I used to do TV a lot and I would do these CNN shows and they stick you in your own room. And so you're not interacting in the space with the host. I would, after each appearance, like sit in that room and just go, I did horribly. I did horribly. And then one day it occurred to me, if you're doing so horribly, why do they keep asking you to do it? And it was the only time I ever, you know, something shifted then. So it's, and I will say, I do see that in you, this questioning. And even just before we started recording, wait, were we recording? I don't think we were yet. When you were talking about, you gave a presentation yesterday and you thought, oh, this wasn't very good. But you're the world's worst judge of yourself. I mean, I guess we all are. So where do you think that comes from? I know we all have it to a degree. Where do you think it comes from in you?
I think that it comes from childhood, from living in the world, from the fact that in order to get to success, we need to experience failures. And as we get a little beaten up, we need to be able to pick ourselves up with ourselves saying, hey, it's okay. This is part of the human condition.
Yep.
And yet there's a part of us that somehow a kid bullied us or a parent said something or looked at us the wrong way. And we never quite were able to tell ourselves or to hear, hey, that's okay. That's part of the natural process. So what we made it mean for us was that there was something inherently not good enough about us.
Right.
And so as we're being challenged, as we're growing and as we're going for bigger dreams, for larger companies, for books, for legacy, for all of these things, we are really being triggered more and more because it is essential that we can tap into those places within ourselves that believes we can do it. Because let's face it, these are challenging things. The people that are being interviewed on this podcast, people in the world that have achieved great things, it doesn't come easy.
Mm-mm.
And there's a lot of pitfalls, and mm-hmm. we're hearing them over and over. And the key is picking yourself back up and reminding yourself and loving yourself and loving yourself and loving yourself and walking through that fire.
Yep. It's true. And of course, a lot of people get discouraged and they lose confidence when they fail and they stop trying. And I think that is the biggest challenge, is reminding yourself that it is the long game. It is, none of it is the sprint. It is all the marathon. And so, but coming from our generation, our parents, I mean, some parents were nicer than others, but our parents, I mean, all I ever felt like was a failure. That's all I ever heard. And well, in some ways I'm grateful for it because it motivated me to prove them wrong. That's a lot of work to get over.
And we all have that.
Yeah.
I think that one of the things that listeners can take away from this, wherever they're at, is that doesn't really go away. You achieve more and more. You have a big house. You have a nice car. You have beautiful children, a great husband, lots of money. I'm talking about myself right now.
All true.
You can, And you can still wake up in the morning and ask yourself, hey, can I do this next piece? Can I speak in front of the bigger stages? Can I write the book? Even when I wrote the book, I know, Anna, you love to tease me about the fact that I was one of the most challenging clients. And the reason is mm-hmm. because I would not publish. Mm-hmm. I was one of the many people that just said, is it good enough? This is it. Am I ready?
I know. It happened so much. The difference is you were such a good friend that I could talk to you about it and you were honest about it. 99% of our clients that do that just ghost. They pay us all this money and they ghost. And it's because it is such a scary thing to, you know, fear is false evidence appearing real. So it's coming from inside your head. So you don't know that is this good enough? Oh, I don't think this is good enough is actually a lie. It's actually your fear trying to protect you, your ego trying to protect you. And it's all a trap.
We are so eager in this life, I think, for all of us to share, to be seen, to put ourselves in the world, to provide value. That's what makes the world go round. And yet, there is this point where we will hold ourselves back. Like the people right now, if you're listening to this and you gave Legacy Launchpad money, please go publish your
yes.
book.
Yes.
And the reason is because it's in our head when we don't publish.
Yeah.
The truth is that people are dying to hear from you. There are lives that will be changed.
Yep.
Your life will be changed. Everything, every reason why you even wanted to write the book is there for you only when you cross the finish line, only when that book is out in the world.
I know. And this wasn't meant to be a plug for Legacy Launchpad, but I will say what we've learned over the past 6 years is that what we're doing, publishing the book is very secondary to the work we're doing. What we're doing is we're taking people on a journey so that they go from business owner to messenger. And it changes their point of view on themselves. And the book is part of that process. Usually the book is the thing that gets them to launch to the TEDx stages, to the, you know, TV shows, to the podcasts and all of those things. But yeah, they can't get there until they get there. And a lot of thoughts and fears are preventing them from doing that.
And that's with everything. That is every time we make a great stride or raise our hand and say, hey, I'm going to write a book. I have something to share and put yourself out there or whatever it is, build a business, buy real estate, whatever it is, it can feel so scary. And that is that to me, that's why I said, what's my biggest failure? That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's the constant challenge. Certainly what we talked about when I said, part of what I felt has been one of my most recent in the past year's failure has been building my wealth building concierge company, because mm-hmm. I felt for so long that my momentum wasn't there. And because I'm around such high achieving, successful people, regardless of what I had achieved, it just didn't feel like it was enough. It didn't feel like I was going fast enough. It didn't feel that I was sharing my message with enough people. And not playing the long game, like you talked about, really can just make you feel like you're spinning out in your life. And it can really feel like a big failure. And it's only through publishing that book and staying with it and serving more clients and expressing myself and being around those people that are successful where I could climb that mountain and get to where I am today. And mm-hmm. there's still mountains to climb. There's mm-hmm. still failures.
Always. But it's like this idea, I think of it like being John Malkovich. I don't know if you remember that movie, but in between elevator floors, because remember how it was like 29 and a half. I should see it again since I'm always referencing this and I really don't remember. But when you're in between the elevator floor, you don't see the next floor. And the in-between is crucial. It's hard to remember that everyone started with one follower, one reader, one listener. And I've been going through this a little bit with, in a minor way, with I've committed to posting on LinkedIn every day. And this is a commitment that I've made before, and I lose momentum. I lose steam because I'm not getting the response I want. And it is very hard to keep going when you're not getting the response you want, but it is, like we keep saying, the long game.
We're always going to be a beginner at some point if we're growing and challenging ourselves. And I love that you're sharing that, because a lot of listeners are probably looking at you thinking, oh, you've got another top podcast and everything Anna does, and Anna David turns to gold. And the truth is that imagine right now that Anna David is she's on LinkedIn and she's challenged. There are challenges.
I don't think that would surprise many people, but that's really kind. But and I am making this about me, but I will say one other thing that just occurred to me that yesterday was, I decided 2024 was going to be the year that I was going to really embrace trying to speak, you know, get speaking gigs. I cannot tell you how discouraging January was. I had someone who promised he would help me, who did absolutely nothing. I had sort of a friend who was just sort of giving me this advice that was bad and was very condescending. And I was pitching myself to all these people, getting nowhere. And suddenly it's coming to fruition. Not suddenly. I mean, I've been spent years, you know, but like, you know, three Vistage things. I talked to a guy on the podcast who may be able to get me to speak in Dubai. I'm now going to speak at Paris's event in Connecticut. Somebody I asked to speak at his event, and I felt like he was weird about it and he didn't want me to, messaged me this morning. So it really, but I mean, I spent all of last year sending blind pitches and working this connection with this guy who was supposedly going to help me. So it really did take a long time. But the difference is, I said, I am going to do this with my all. I am going to keep putting myself out there in a way that makes me uncomfortable. That's the difference.
And even listening to you talk about it, there's a part of me that just, my heart sinks, because I know that feeling of, you're going for it, you're going for it, you're going for it, you're going for it, and you're not gaining momentum. And the truth is, 1 year is not really that long for all of these opportunities to be opening up. Some people have to go with this for years and years, and it's just a matter of tapping into what it is you want on this journey here in your life and deciding that you're going to stay with it and not fearing the failure so much, and knowing that maybe we don't use the word failure as much as we use it as we're in process.
Yeah.
Part of the process.
Well, you know, Justin Breen does not enjoy the word failure. But my acronym is First Accept It's Life. It's okay. It's not a pejorative word. It is like saying toothpaste. It's just a word. But let's talk about, so now you've kind of come through, you have a mastermind that I consider very successful. I was lucky enough to be able to speak at it you go to 5-star resorts with your clients and you give amazing financial advice. You've saved me a lot of money. So let's talk about how you came to this sort of 2.0 of Wealth Building Concierge.
So what needed to happen for me when I wasn't gaining the traction and momentum, and maybe I was the one on LinkedIn and, I'll still have some challenges. I reconnected with what it was that my mission was. Why was I doing this? And I realized how important it was for me to not only have money myself, but to help other women understand that they could also have wealth, that it's not something just for the select few. That's how I grew up. That was my understanding. I didn't grow up with money, and other people had money, and there were the haves and the have-nots, and you were born into it.
Right.
And that was kind of the way I saw it. And the reason was because I also didn't have an AI pal to ask, hey, how the heck do I make money?
Right.
I was, I was literally just thinking, okay, this just is going to be what it was. And so it's really in my hard drive, especially because it started out with not growing up with money. Then once I started making money, I started getting a bunch of bad advice. Right. And even when you called me in the 11th hour and said, hey, I am kind of stuck here. I don't understand. I have all these professionals helping me, and something doesn't seem right on the way that some of this financial stuff is working. And I gave you one piece of advice, and you thought, well, why didn't somebody else? My financial person tell me that, my CPA tell me that. And that's the reason that I'm so passionate about the work, because I just think we need to be in the conversation, and we need to know that it's not that hard once we put the pieces together, and that there's so much wealth out there that we can tap into.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I think what's important to know is, you know, I'm someone who is totally uninterested, like making money, but I am really not interested in paying attention to investments. I just want you to tell me, do this. And I know that's not ideal. However, that's what I think people do need to know about you, is you don't have to be super interested. You can be an unmath person. You can get completely overwhelmed when it's time to collect 1099s. You can get confused every year. Is it a W-9? Is it a 1090? Like, literally just have practically dyslexia about it and still talk to you. And I think you saved me $50,000 through one conversation. And I didn't have to get in the weeds. I did have to tell you, stop telling me details. I don't care. Just tell me what to do. But I think that's really important, because when I first hear about like wealth, I'm just like, no. I can't get involved in these investments. And the idea of investing in real estate is frightening, because God, that sounds like so much money. And you really can break it down in a simple way.
Yeah. And I think that you would even say that even purchasing your primary home has been one of the best things you ever did. I mean, while a lot of times in real estate, there is a thought process that your primary home, since you live there, is not really an asset that is something that you want to count on for net worth. And yet I say, hey, if your house appreciates $500,000 and you needed to sell your house and you don't live in some Boonieville place, you could get that $500,000 profit and take that money. And that's money that you would normally never have. And all you're doing is living in your house.
Speaking of the Boonieville places, I feel like those are where the houses are the most valuable these days, because it's like sort of untapped into real estate. And suddenly the so-called Boonieville places sound like amazing places to live to me. I love to go to Zillow and look at just like, wow, what could you get for you know, this amount there? But okay, so what's interesting, you know, I'm obsessed with this idea of legacy and who, what, why. And you are in my presentation that I'm giving to Vistage as an example of someone who's really clear about it. So let's just like spell it out. Who is your who?
My who is a mission-driven women who are successful and highly ambitious and want to get wealthy or wealthier.
And what is your what? What exactly do you do for them?
I work with them either in the mastermind. I have a private investing group with investing, real estate investing opportunities. There's actually some other opportunities in there too, where they can dissect and learn, where they can put money that can go to work for them, and a training education on how to really understand and mitigate risk and not get into deals that are going to lose you money. And then I also do retreats, and mm-hmm. most of the retreats now are being held in Austin, where I live, mm-hmm. which is fun. Everybody loves to come to Austin.
They sure do. What is your why?
My why is that I want women to understand how to access wealth opportunities. And I don't think it's that hard to do if you have access. The access is hard, but that's when I've done the heavy lifting. I've created the access.
Amazing. Now, so if you had to put that into a sentence, I serve blank by blank because I believe blank, can we make it into a sentence?
Of course we can. I help driven women get wealthy.
By?
Oh, by teaching them wealth strategies and providing real estate investing opportunities.
Because I believe.
Because I believe women should be wealthy and we should not worry about money. And we should, it's our right to be free.
I love it. And seminal childhood experience, we sort of touched on this, that led you to make this your mission and your legacy. Was it, if you had to sum it up, what, I mean, daughter of a Holocaust survivor, growing up looking at other people and thinking you were stuck here. I'll let you put it in your words.
Yeah. Growing up as the child of a Holocaust survivor, as you said, and mom was an immigrant fighting. She was just living in Israel very early on as a child. And freedom was a big thing. When my parents came to the United States, they were very grateful to just not have somebody pointing a gun to their heads. And that was all that they really felt that they needed in their life, was to just not feel like they were in danger. And for me, growing up here, I felt like I wanted more. I wanted more access. I could see people having more. And so I went on that journey, and then I was just so driven by money that I wasn't really that happy, because I felt like a slave, because I felt like I couldn't get access to it. I couldn't figure it out. I didn't understand. I didn't know about real estate. It just took me so long to figure out all these pieces. And then once I did, I really started to relax and started to be able to live more of a free life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think life's about. And I want other women to have that.
I love that. And I think that people, you talk about, one talks about money and people get the wrong idea. They think, oh, this person's materialistic. Oh, money doesn't matter. You know, happiness studies, whatever, show, what do they show? That above, as long as you're making a certain, you know, enough to support yourself, your happiness goes down as you get wealthier and wealthier. We've all met, actually, I don't know that I've met, well, there might be one in my family, very wealthy people who are miserable. But that doesn't mean that talking about money means your values are out of line, right?
Absolutely. And there's also a lot of wealthy people who are happy.
Yeah.
They're living great lives. They're doing fabulous things that are enjoying and able to have medical insurance. My son tore his ACL on his varsity year of soccer in high school, right before the season started. And it was such a blessing to be able to go to a doctor and get care and be able to get him surgery and not have to worry, oh my gosh, how are we going to pay for this? How are we going to take care of our child? I mean, simple, basic things that you do not want to have to think about. And, let's face it, there's a lot of, the world's getting more and more expensive because the money's being printed and the dollar value is going down. And I just think that the more we learn, I saw you, Bernie.
Your boyfriend.
The cat. The more that we accept and just love money for what it can do for us and let it serve us and let it be a part of our life and let it be an exchange for the value that we provide into the world, then we don't need to reject money. I just don't see any reason why people would say, oh, I don't need money, I don't want money. I mean, I guess I understand that, like if you live in the Amazon and you're not materialistic and you live on the land, but there's not a lot of people that live in the United States like that.
Yeah, it's hard to live in the United States like that. Mm-hmm. Well, this, of course, has been fantastic. So there's two more questions I want to ask you. If you had to give one bit of advice about overcoming failure and turning it into success, what would that be?
My one bit of advice for overcoming failure is to sit down with yourself, whether it's journaling, whether you're talking to yourself or talking to a friend, and ask yourself what it is that you really want. Even when you're down and you've hit a wall, you've lost money, your business fails, or you lose a relationship, or someone, a loved one passes, and ask yourself, where do I want to go from here on this journey? And pick yourself up and start walking. Start walking there. And look for the support that's out there. Even as you shared, Anna, that you had someone that was telling you that they were going to help you and they weren't the person, but then somebody else was the one that was going to help, that ended up helping you. And we have to stay, we have to pick ourselves up. We have to walk, because you would never even have seen those people if you just were down in your bed with the pillows over your head because you were in despair that someone had told you they were going to help you and didn't.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And I will say over and over and over again, when you do something like that, the person who actually comes along and helps you is so much bigger and better than that person that you thought, you know, that you were, had your hopes pinned on, because the universe has much bigger plans for us than we have for ourselves if you stay in that faith. That's what I think.
That's such a big one. My first value is freedom. My second value is faith. And I have to say, I love that you brought faith in, because really my biggest failure was lack of faith. Well, lack of faith in myself, which I talked about, but lack of faith in, like you said, the universe has bigger plans for you. Just feeling like you're not alone and understanding we're all on a journey, and nobody just walks straight up the mountain and yells hooray. There are ebbs and flows. And I think that faith is so critical, and it was a really hard one for me to grasp, especially for a child of a Holocaust survivor.
Yeah.
Given what my father had been through, believing in God, believing in faith, believing that good things were going to happen. So I say, yes, lean into faith.
Yes. And that reminded me of something else. You know, as they say in 12 step, you do have to suit up and show up. If you're on a trajectory that is not working, that could mean switch trajectories, and you've got to be self-sufficient. I do think it's you've just got to take the certain steps so that you're in a position to let the universe help you. It's like they say, luck comes to the prepared. You got to set yourself up to be prepared. That's not just going to happen.
Beautifully stated.
Thank you. Now,
if you weren't my friend, I'd ask you to be my friend.
Oh, that's so sweet. I think you did ask me to be your friend in Mexico, and I said yes. What if people want to reach you, if they want to join your mastermind, if they want to join your community, how can they do that?
They can go on my website, wealthbuildingconcierge.com, or they can send an email to hello@wealthbuildingconcierge.com.
I love it.
And there's lots of gifts on there too on the website. It's being redone.
We love
right
gifts.
Now.
We love gifts. And we love Trisha, who's redoing the site.
Yes, we do love her.
Well, thank you so much, Tamar, and thanks you all for listening.
Thanks for listening to Fail Your Way to Success. Now, if there's anything I love more than a failure to success story, it's a review. So I hope you'll think about leaving one. For more information about the show, go to failyourway.com. And for more information about publishing a book about how you failed your way to success, or just to find out more about what I do, go to legacylaunchpadpub.com.